This presentation, I feel, is when it's bringing us very close to a milestone. Every 4 years we have a Chag HaSmicha. In Yemir Teshem, Sunday we have another Chag HaSmicha, which may be the largest Chag HaSmicha in our history. Baruch Hashem, in 10 years. And 20 years ago, the first and only time since then, that we wanted to introduce the Chag HaSmicha with several weeks presentations of some of the great Rabbeim and the Yachdim of the Yeshiva. And the Yachdim of the Yeshiva as we know it, although he first came here in 1915. And the Yeshiva, one part of it, Eitz Chaim, was founded in 1886. And Yeshiva Sabbeinu Yitzchok Elchanan in 1896, immediately after the passing of Rabbi Yitzchok Elchanan. I'm one of the few people, I imagine, that has had the privilege of seeing Baruch Hashem, all the presidents of Yeshiva University. The presidents that you know of that are most famous, the Miyasei, Dr. Revel, and then, of course, Dr. Shmuel Belkin, and then Yubad Lula Chaim, Dr. Lamb, and President Joe. I suppose there are several others. I know for a fact, and Hashem Yarech is Yom HaVushnosa, Rabbi Yosef Weiss, Shlita, in fact began to teach at Yeshiva in a smaller form than he did later on in 1938. And Rav Revel was at that time the president of Yeshiva Nosi. And he became a beginning, which we say the Bacher Zager, the one who repeated the shir of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Zecherzad. Shem Yarchid Yomosh Nosi. I take it that maybe Dr. Tendler also, he's older than I am, Leon Hur. And he may have seen Dr. Rav Revel also. I don't know for a fact, but I know his father, Yitzchok Tendler, was an outstanding rabbi in America, and an outstanding mechanic in Yeshiva Sefer Yerushalayim for many years, in a rav in the east side. And one of the personalities that was well known was a musbach of our yeshiva too, in the early 1920s. So it's not beyond belief that he had seen Dr. Revel as well. I saw Dr. Revel twice. The first time I saw Dr. Revel was when I was about anywhere 6, 7, or 8 years old. I still have a memory. It was the only time that I remember that he visited our home. One evening he visited our home. The house was prepared. We had many visitors over the years, but somebody special was coming. And I recall how he walked into our home. We lived in an apartment then, we still do, but it was a different apartment, wasn't me. And he came in, he was a very dapper man, as I have the impression of him. And he wore a black hat, but it was a black hat, you know, over the brim was bent over, and it was a little cocky on his head. And he came in and he opened the door, my mother opened the door. And as he opened the door, he immediately removed his coat and his scarf, and he gave it to my mother. That's the only thing I remember. I don't know if I went into the room with my kid. Probably I was too young to go, and somebody must have told me, Zvulun, go into your room. You know, I don't remember anything more. When I was 10 years old, and this I remember quite vividly, when I was 6 years old, or 10 years old, I went to the wedding of Rabbi Usher Ziv, Zichrono Lebracha. Usher Ziv married in July 1940. And he was married, and he got married in the shul. He became the rav of the shul, a very outstanding synagogue in the Bronx at that time, Kehillas Yisrael. If you want to have a history of the synagogue, know that one of the first rabbis, not the first rabbi of the synagogue, and he was there until he went to the seminary, was Rabbi Louis Finkelstein, who became the president of the seminary, and for 50, 60 years, was the leading personality in the conservative movement. At that time, and it always remained a very Orthodox synagogue, and they had a president, I knew the president very well, he died about 96 and 97, and he was Mr. Pollock. And Mr. Pollock came from England. He spoke with a clipped English accent. Beautiful, and people came, and many were European, but you have to realize. They wanted to hear English, and he would say, at 4 o'clock, we will have mincha services properly. And he would give a whole series of announcements, and people would just come to listen to the announcements. He was an Erlich Yid. He went with a beard. He was such an Erlich. In those days, it was unusual. And he used to think that Dr. Louis Finkelstein, he used to call him Saint Louis. And then when he went to the seminary, it was really a blow to him. He remained very friendly with him, but he couldn't understand it. He was actually a graduate of the seminary. The seminary at the time when he graduated was back and forth. Nobody knew what it was yet. And they had another rabbi, another conservative rabbi came after him, who was also co-chair synagogue, and he left it because he wanted a shul without a mechitzah. He's a very prominent rabbi, I'm not going to mention his name. And then they had an Orthodox rabbi for the first time, a big Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Barutkin, for about 4 years, but he came from Europe, and he spoke with a slight accent. And Mr. Pollock could not abide an accent. And finally, he took Rabbi Usher Ziv, who was one of the Mitzioni HaYeshiva. Mir Tamar Chacham, you know, he was the great authority under Amor. He put out 2 Sfarim on Amor. He received the Pras Yisrael, the highest literary award presented by the State of Israel for his Sfarim under Amor. It is a great accomplishment, achievement was in literary terms, academic terms, and in lumdus as well. In Psak, in Halacha, the biography, and then later the Chubas. So I remember when he came into our neighborhood, and there were many rabbis, Rabbi Peretzky, Rabbi Ziv, Rabbi Romanov, Rabbi Filler, a whole bunch of rabbis were all single at that time. Many came from Europe, they came from Kletz, they came from Lumsha, they came from different places. But they almost all ate in our home. And they used to spend sometimes, all of them came on a Shabbos, sometimes not, they had to walk about a half an hour, 40 minutes to come to the house. And Rabbi Ziv, who was next door, he was only a block away from me. My father's shul was 15 minutes away from me, and his shul was a block away from me. Whenever I came to my father's shul, I was a little late, he gave me a dirty look. So when I got late, I got smart, and I said, I'm going to go to Rabbi Ziv's shul. And then he said to me, where were you? So I said, well, I went to Rabbi Ziv's shul. It was easy. I didn't feel so well. So he said to me, you didn't feel well when you got up late. He understood. So it was Rabbi Ziv. Rabbi Ziv, after 2 years, found his bride. And a marriage took place in Eichel Israel. It was packed. And I had my cousin Yaakov Shachar, who was a young man who came from Yerushalayim. He was my mother's nephew. And he was in Chaim Yeshiva. At the age of 17, he said he wanted to go and study. My grandfather, Belvis Shachar, who brought the Bisker up later into Eretz Yisrael, was very upset by this. And they had a lot of trouble. And they sent a letter to my father. And my father said, and this is something very unusual, I will take this young widow. Send your nephew here. I promise you he will remain in Erlich Yid. And he'll learn. Continue to learn, even if he goes to university. I was sent to Yeshiva University. And he came here in 1937. I was a Ben Yochidot, so I had a brother who was 9 years old. He came to Yeshiva, and he learned in Ramesh as well. So I'm telling you this for the purpose. So he took me to the wedding. I was invited by Rabbi Ziv. He asked me, I want you, Rulon, to come to the wedding. 10 years old. So we sat in the last row, next to the last row. It was packed. The women's section was packed. The men's section was packed. And the Moshe Soloveitchik, this is July 18th, 1940. And Dr. Revel was going to be there, and Reb Moshe. We were wondering who's going to be Masad Kedusha. Not me. I didn't even know what a Masad Kedusha was. It was different. I knew my father was up there too. I think he read the Ksuba. But this is, I don't know. And then Dr. Revel walked in, and I immediately spotted him. He walked down the whole aisle, came in after we were there. And then I said, where's Rabbi Soloveitchik? Because that was the Rebbe of Yaakov Shachar too. Although he was still there in this year, and Rabbi Ziv received smicha in 1937. It's very important for our purposes. So he said to me, I think the man there, you know, we had about 20 rows. I think the man next to Rabbi, you see the log with the big beard next to Rabbi Dr. Belkin, Dr. Revel? I think that he's Ramesh. And all my life, I was under the impression that Reb Moshe and the Rebbe were there. And because I was going to tell you that I saw who was the Masad Kedusha, Dr. Revel or Rav Soloveitchik. So I called up Yosef Ziv, he lives in Tinek. He's a student of our yeshiva. And I think he received me from our yeshiva. And his sons were in Tinek, also received me from our yeshiva. And he was a son. I used to be his babysitter, his brother and sister. And I called him up and I said, I remember you had Reb Moshe and both, and I leave out the Zecher Tzadik Levracha, you know that I have in mind Zichronim Levracha. And I said, and Reb Dr. Revel, who is Masad Kedusha? I have to speak tomorrow night here. So he says, I want you to know that Reb Moshe didn't come because he called up the last minute, my father said, he was ill. And he couldn't come to the wedding. So he didn't come to the wedding. I saw two people walking away. I thought they're going out already. Thank God they came closer. So actually I learned only last night that Reb Moshe wasn't there. And Dr. Revel was a Masad Kedusha. And then he tells me something very interesting, since I called him up last night. I'm going to tell you something about Reb Moshe and my father. You know that in 1937 and the 30s, the leading rabbinic group in America was the Agudas Harbonim. Is something wrong here? I can speak louder. Okay. I thought you have a microphone. I don't have to. Was the Agudas Harbonim. And the Agudas Harbonim didn't want to accept, except very rarely they made exceptions. Musmachim of our yeshiva. And the younger men, by 1936 and 37, they began to organize in Stadrut Rabban. So it was only a year or 2 years after the Stadrut Rabban began to organize. It was still fledgling. And there were monumental efforts to bring them together, that we shouldn't have a period of Rabban, of older and younger Rabban. So he finally came to a decision. It's hard to believe. And Rabbi Rakepet, and I called him up yesterday too to make sure. I want to make sure that everything I tell you is as true as I can believe it's true. And he has it in the book, where I'm telling you. But I didn't know it was Rabbi Ziff, and I'll tell you, it was the Moskva Ilui, Rabbi Meyer Kalin. The yeshiva had a lot of Europeans that came here. And there were Brady Luya. And there was the Moskva Ilui. He was known all over Europe. And he was a student here. And they decided that they're going to send Rabbi Yisrael Rosenberg, who was the leading rabbi in America, the Orthodox rabbi. He was the chairman of the Presidium, then you have Rabbi Eliezer Silver, and you had other people, different. But Rabbi Rosenberg was the chairman of the Presidium. And he was also the president of Yeshiva Saben Yitzchak Elchanan in 1924. Because at that time, Dr. Revel left. He left twice, he left the yeshiva. And I'm going to perhaps touch upon that too. And they asked Rabbi Rosenberg to become the... So he loved the yeshiva. So they The agreement was made that Rabbi Rosenberg would come to the smicha, and he would come to several smichas, smicha bechinas, and he would be part of the examining board, and he would ask them to see if they really are right, and they can come to Agudas Avod or not. So the first time he was supposed to come was in 1937 to the smicha, and it's not mentioned in Rabbi Kevin's book, and Rabbi Kevin didn't know it was. And just luckily, I spoke to Rabbi Zip yesterday, Rabbi Yosef Zip yesterday. And he told me a story I didn't even think I'd ask him about it. And he told me, I didn't think it was his father, I didn't know. He said, do you know that my father was chosen with the Muscovy Ilui to be at that smicha, because they were get smicha together. And the two both of them at that time were Rabbi Revel and Rabbi Moshe Salavation. And then Rabbi Rosenberg would come in. But they kept the smichas always precisely. You know, if they said a boy has to be here at 9:30, they were there usually. They were there at time. So they came, and Rabbi Rosenberg is not there. And they picked Rabbi Carlin and Rabbi Ziv, because Rabbi Ziv learned six. He came here after he was 16 or 17 years old, and he learned in Eitz Chaim Yeshiva all his life. And Rabbi Carlin was known as the Muscovilim. They would be the two Muster Haskel. They'd be the two Semelin. Who we have in this yeshiva? And then he had others, I think, as backup men. For the next smicha, you know. So what would be is that if he passes on the bechinah, he says the royal, they would automatically get the Agudas Avod. They would keep on doing that. So there would be an incentive also for a lot of younger rabbis who just got something like this would begin to think they're going through such bechinahs. They'd study a little harder, know it a little more. Maybe. So he doesn't come, and they wait about 15, 20 minutes. And Rav Moshe says to Dr. Revel, nu, was Pavan and Bachman? What's matter? See, so Dr. Revel, you know what Bachman was Yisrael Rosenberg, and Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi had great respect for Yisrael, because Rabbi Yisrael Rosenberg was the one who paved the way when Rabbi Yosef Ber, came to America. That's it. And he was coming. And I was in Rabbi Yosef Ber's class. This is about 1952, 53, I don't know when. That I remember Mr. Abrams, who was registrar, and Yeshiva walked in. He says, Rabbi Soloveitchik, I have bad news for you. Rabbi Rosenberg died. So when he said that, the Rav immediately closed the Gemara. He says, what? Rabbi Rosenberg? I'll never forget. He was completely demolished by the news. He got up, he closed the Gemara, and he walked out of the room. And he started to walk back and forth in the foyer, in the lobby between, where you have today, between the base medrash and the auxiliary base medrash. It used to be the Rav Shuer, it was in the middle room. He was so lost. What I'm going to say to you in the next few words, you'll know in the spirit that I say it to you. And he was going, and we knew who Rabbi Rosenberg was, but we couldn't know that he would have such a, that the passing of Rabbi Rosenberg would really destroy the Rav. In that moment, I've never seen the Rav in that way. Mr. Abrams came back. He said, Rabbi Soloveitchik, why are you still outside? Rabbi Soloveitchik, I made a mistake. It was Mrs. Rosenberg. So it was only Mrs. Rosenberg. Get back in. He opened the Gemara. He started to learn. And he was so relieved. I'm saying all this so you have an understanding who Rabbi Rosenberg, so Rabbi Rosenberg, so Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik says to Dr. Revel, you know, Havem and Barbara, he says he understood it. He's all right. He says, McKenish unfinding of Rabbi Rosenberg. Rabbi Rosenberg was a man who really, in a way, stood on ceremony, not because he represented the Ahwanis in America. So the Moshe said to Dr. Medafi Machin Abchim, it's in the land, read in the land. He says, we'll do now, we'll bide our time, we'll wait for Rabbi Rosenberg to come here, but we can talk and learn, not necessarily on your day and others, not necessarily the things that were here, or the necessity, whatever you want. And he began. About 15 minutes later, Rabbi Rosenberg walked in. He took off his coat and he heard them in the middle of a nesugya. And he said, if the ungefangen on mir, you began without me. I want you to know that Rabbi Rosenberg was, I can't believe, but that's why I want to tell you who Rabbi Rosenberg was before this. If I'm going on mir,
So Moshe and Dr. Rebel realized how he felt the hurt, he felt insulted. And they said, no, get the land. He said, might they get the land? So you see how the boys know. If you think of anything, if you're thinking now of what they prepared, you certainly know. And if they know, you know who they are. And he put on his coat, and he turned around, and he walked out. And that effort, which probably was the best effort to keep the Agudat Sabonim and the Young Rabbanim together, failed. That I learned yesterday. I mean, you have it in Rakevitz's book, but he doesn't say who the people were. But this is what happened. Dr. Revel was born in Frenel, a small suburb of Kufa. He was a great Talmud Chacham, Dr. Revel's father, Nachum Schrager Revel, he was a Rav there, and he was very close to Rav Yitzchak Elchanan. He was right in the suburb of Kufa, and he was among the closest confidants of Rav Yitzchak Elchanan. He wasn't a small man. And in 1886, I think it was, that Dr. Revel was born in this small town. And he spent most of his youth in Kovner and in Telz. He came to Telz, I don't know how old he was, 13, 14 years old, he was in Telz. And he was known as an extraordinary Ilut. And his father died also when he was about 14 years old. And he was left to Yassim. His life mirrors a little, or it was mirrored later by Dr. Belkin also, who was his father, younger yet. And was in Raden, and he was in Telz, but he was known as a great Ilu of Telz. And by the time he was 16 years old, he came to America. He came to America and he stopped off at Yeshivas of Angel Khan. That's where every European Talmud Yeshiva stopped off at that time. This is in the 1906 yet. And it wasn't really much. I'm going to tell you later what happened. He stayed there for a little while because most of the people just stayed there for a stipend until they can find something better. But they gave the boys who came to yeshiva a stipend. There weren't too many. They gave him a stipend. But he wanted something more. He strove for much more. And it's amazing that by the age of 24, he received his doctorate from Dropsky. He was the first doctorate. And his Torah was a little different. He spoke in regular Torah, but what he wrote and what he made his name was an amalgam of Torah Yisrael as we understand it, and Chochmah. The inyanim that he was involved in. But when he, there were a lot of academicians of Talmud, they'll give you a very nice history. He really gave you lumdus in his academic discussions. And he came and he met the Ramaz Margolis when he was 16 or 17 years old, when he first came to America. And the Ramaz Margolis started to speak to him and learn. And said that this man, as young as he is, he wrote a letter, is a Gadol B'Yisrael at that time, at the age of 16. But then he got his doctorate. He also went to NYU, got his master's before that in law, in different law. And I'll have to do it by memory. I can never find these papers. But he when he came back from his work and everything, the same time he was learning about Hindus, Sadducees. Sadducees, that's all right. That's current to us. But every kind of the Eastern religions, and Eastern customs, and the different law system, the American law system, the French law legal system, the English legal system. All he did himself at night, and he mastered these things. He was a Nili Nifla. Rabbi Palachik, who we brought later on, the Major Nili, who was the greatest Nili of the 20th century, probably. He had the greatest name as a Nili of the 20th century, Major. And of course, he was beloved by the Nitziv. The Nitziv thought he was extraordinary. He was the most marvelous mind he ever met. And Reb Chaim thought he was the greatest Talmud of Reb Chaim. And they loved him. But in the Major Nili, too, was the same mind, we'll understand later on, maybe Dr. Revel brought him here, he at night, after he learned a full day, would come and read every secular book he could get in English, she ultimately did, in Russian, and other languages. That's an unbelievable story. And you have it written down. I found the old records of this. So it was a different discipline. So in any event, Dr. Revel, the yeshiva, realized that it was going nowhere. And there was a big strike in yeshiva, several strikes in the early 1900s, in the teens, where yeshiva students refused to learn unless they would get English studies. They would get secular studies. They said they can't do anything. They wanted that second. They want to be able to go to coalesce in the society. And the Menali yeshiva at that time didn't want to get it. They felt that they would break it because there were still many of the old people. If you remain true, and to remain true and to remain a Shomer Shabbos at that time, to remain one true to the Musar of Yadus was just to learn. And they learned in the Beis Medrash, the great Batei Midrash in Europe. And finally they decided, no, they'll have to introduce. Is there a problem there?
Okay.
They'll finally introduce secular studies. And they had to get somebody, and they figured, and they came upon Dr. Revel. He had everything. He was a goyim. At the same time, he had a doctorate. He mastered the language. And he wanted to build a secular school in order to make our Bonham who could function in America. Says you cannot function, and that's where we're losing to the conservative, we're losing to reform, because the children of the immigrants don't have any rapport, don't understand what the rabbis are even saying. And we have to do that. Before that, in 1908, and I can tell you what I heard personally and what was written in all the books. While he was in Philadelphia, Rabbi Levenstuhl, who was one of the deans of the Rabbanim in America, he lived in Rabbi Levenstuhl's house for 2 years, and Rabbi Levenstuhl, you become my assistant, you'll paskin shalos for me. He was very young, and you'll help me write letters, and he helped him with Torah, with all kinds of things that got back to Rabbi Levenstuhl. And he met Rabbi Zivitz. I knew Rabbi Zivitz too, but I don't remember him well. I met him once when he was maybe 3 months old, but I was old. And Rabbi Zivitz was the rabbi of Pittsburgh. He must have been rabbi of 60 years. He was unbelievable. He was a great Talmud Chacham. And he met Dr. Revel in Rabbi Levenstuhl's house in Philadelphia. And he was tremendously impressed with him. He never met such a young guy, he said. And he was also, where he was in Pittsburgh, he was not far away from Marietta, Ohio. Marietta, Ohio had a community, a Jewish community, which was a very rich Jewish community, that remained true to Hashem. They didn't even have a rabbi who was so small. I don't know how many families they had, but practically everybody in Marietta was Orthodox. And they were in oil. They were very wealthy. And one of the families is Travis family. And Mr. Travis was looking for a chassid. And his daughter was very religious. So Rabbi Zivitz told him, I found someone. So it was on July, Thanksgiving Day, that he was invited to come to Marietta. And there he met Sarah Travis, and she fell head and heels, as they say, in love with him, because she saw such a common couple. He was a good-looking man, and he was full of vitality and vibrancy, and he was go-go in every way. And they ultimately got married. And you know what happened? The Travis family went down, one of the brothers went down to Oklahoma, and he bought a piece of land in Oklahoma, and he found a tremendous amount of oil in that piece of land. Before you knew it, they owned vast land, territory in Oklahoma. And they became one of the big players in oil. That was the beginning of the automobile and everything else. And when Rabbi Revel married his wife, they gave them, they wrote over to him, $500,000 so they could get their marriage on top. Do you know what $500,000 was in 1908? mind-boggling.
Before you knew it, he was started. They asked him. They realized he was a man with great vision, and they took him into the oil business. He continued to learn. In fact, the article that appears in Yevul HaYovel, we couldn't find any article by Dr. Revel that hadn't appeared yet. We don't know what happened to Will Kassav. That article was a piece of Torah that he wrote to my father. I'm not sure my father was in Roma then, but he wrote a piece of Torah to him. So I had that piece of Torah that Dr. Revel wrote, and I gave him, you see, in Yevul HaYovel. And you see what kind of lamed he was. A very great time. And he started to work there, but he was learning all the time. And he was writing. He wrote in many folks say Torah. And he continued, he wrote articles. And he made a very big name for himself. At the same time, he happened to be in the oil business. But he wasn't happy. Because he wanted to do some yahadus. He saw every place he went that yahadus was faltering, diminishing. Our youth was just exiting from yahadus, or from the yahadus we had. So when he heard about the call that yeshiva wanted to make a high school and everything, and he was in yeshiva a little bit, he remembered that yeshiva. I'm going to read something later on and you'll understand what yeshiva was then. He became a candidate. And he was taken as the, and that was time to merge him. Both Eitz Chaim took him, and Yeshiva Zeven Yitzchok Chanan took him, and that was a merger through him of both institutions, and he became the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva at that time. And he founded the high school very quickly. It took him only a few months, and he amassed a staff. He collected a staff of outstanding people, some college professors to be in the high school. He was outstanding, Jews and Gentiles. And he was able to do it, and he started MTA in 1950. But I want to read to you something else. I want to take just a little bit of your time. The first Rosh Yeshiva, I never knew this, and I think anybody ever knew this. This letter was not known to exist until last year when they put out a sefer in my honor. And Ari Zatz, so Lang Gesund, to whom I owe so much, and I can't ever thank him enough. So I found a letter in the archives, and I couldn't make out the handwriting. I have Dr. Revel's letter here. They didn't know what it was, and I realized ultimately that that letter appeared in that sefer. And there it was clear, and I don't know how they made it out. So you have to realize that Rabbi Alberstein was the first Rosh Yeshiva appointed in 1902 or 1900. So here they suddenly have a new Rosh Yeshiva, Dr. Revel, a young man, 30 years old, and he was 57 that time, this Rabbi Alberstein, and he was a very great Talmid Chacham. So I'm going to read to you a letter, part of it, that's unbelievable, and you see the savvy of Dr. Revel, and the use of strategy in a letter, all to make shalom, and apparently it worked. He begins like this. And you have to, you did not see. The Rav Chavivi, the Rav Adoyin HaMuchlov, HaChochem HaMuchlov, the first time you see the Torah Ubamadu. Lo Esiyodos. He hears the word Madu because he doesn't want Rabbi Alberstein to feel that they overlooked him and suddenly forgot that he was the first Rosh Yeshiva. He's been the Rosh Yeshiva all these years. Because of they want to make that high school, maybe they want to bring in second study. So apparently Rabbi Alberstein, I'm going to tell you who he was not a mean scholar in his own right. Only Gadol HaYali, he met him right away, the young Dalit Ba'avar. That was the Wednesday before, he says. And you may, I didn't know what the Wednesday before meant until I read the letter. Kasher Bilisi Shos Chados V'Cherusecho. V'yanti v'sipercha hamolei dvarim mechukamim mufloyim v'loshin k'sora sheshonu chachamim meruba hamazik es hameruba asher kibdume ki odlo bo kibosim hazeh v'safrut harabanati v'zman achron. He said, I never saw such a book lately, no such great sefer came out.
By the way, until now, the Sefer is not coming. We don't know where it is. But he saw the Sefer. He had it written out, but it wasn't published yet. And it never got, you'll see why it was never published. I think why it is. Vanitfila, that Shenene Beniskel Oro Bekorum, the Kovatar Sakodos Yoramal Yede Sifrucha Godol Azer. And Laharos Lachoyas HaKovot, I'm having a problem with the Zirak children. Ashe Yirchash Libi Lissifrucha Zehen Ini Sholechacha, Haros HaKodos Al Inyon. Imein Raya Ladova, Yesh Zecha Ladova. Shatomeir Or Chodosh Olof Lissifrucha. So he said, so good. So he has this is the first part of the letter. And then I have the last part of it, which I'll come to pretty soon. But then he puts in here, it's different. You see how he worked out. Here's his letter. I don't know if you can see it that far. I can't even see it this near. But you see, here's the letter. It's a very neat letter. This is where he wrote. And then suddenly he comes in. This is the way he wrote his Torah. And then he ends up again with a nice handwriting for his letter. So he spent time writing the Torah. And he begins this. So you learn a little Torah. Maybe for this alone, it's worth the whole speech. Alimud Hu, he says, apparently they discussed this question, that he says, the Mechilta, book Bo, Parshas Yudai, maybe Raya, the gracious Memches. Yudai? Oh, I'm sorry. The Zirak said about that. He made Raya Ladova, Zechel Ladova. Barashi Sanhedrin, Perakei, Ayin Gimel, Havi Mechilta, Zu, Bob Parsha Yizayin, maybe Raya, the gracious Memches, the Parsha Yizayin, She I can't believe it. I better go with the. Do you have anybody has a safer that was my honor? It should be around here. Yeah, because I can't read this. I thought I took it down. Wait, I have it. The first part, which he wrote, you know, in neat handwriting before he came to the piece of Torah. I have it here, okay. Now we'll go over. Rashi, the Psochim, Zayin Omer Beit, I must have, in the Xerox, I must have cut off the first part. What does it mean? In Raya the Dover, Zeicha the Dover. Shehali would who miksubim o I have it here somewhere. Miksubim o midaviyim. Lefiya klal divrei Torah with divrei Kabbalah lo yafin. That when you say imain Raya the Dover, if it's not written beferish and chamisha chum she Torah, and we only have it in divrei Kabbalah in neviyim or in ksubim. That means it's main Raya of Yeshua. It's Zecha. It doesn't have the same authority, the same force as if it's written in the Torah. That's where Rashi learned. Lochein ain't Zeh Raya, Rak Zecha. Ukinira Kain, Gam Das Toises, Yuma. Avad Zoromer, Ayan Allah, Dibra Masu, the Snan, Varaiva, the Perushal, Sifra, Emor, Rashi Yudal, Ach Ayan Rashi, the Traces, Brochus, Beis, Amad Beis. Videa Zu Koshimo. Vasorim mekomo samuboyim lamato halimud humi mikros min atur ubechozos nemar behem imein raya ledavur yeshech ledavur. It's amazing. He says, you're telling me Rashi says it. Tosafot said, but I want you to know I don't understand it. And you made a whole piece of Torah on it. The fact of the matter is, I can show you 10 places in Shas where they took psukim from the Torah, and even though you took psukim from the Torah, they say imein raya ledavur yeshech ledavur. So how can you tell me that? I'm going to give you some answer to it, and we'll go over it. And then he brings all the 10 places. And he brings all the 10 places. Now, I want you to know, where does it get the Sikhias? From, he brought it from Sikhras and the Chultas and also from Gemaras. And later on, he has even more. I said, where did he get the Sikhias?
he must have had a computer.
He didn't have a computer. He certainly had the Talmudic encyclopedia. He didn't have that either. So I went to the Sdei Chemed, and I figured Sdei Chemed sometimes takes in Yerim. Sdei Chemed has nothing like this. So this, by the way, this was on Wednesday, and he wrote it on Thursday the next day. He sat down on this Indian, and he wrote it out. And he had 10 plates. That was his Bekiyas. A Mishuna Dikya, a very unusual Bekiyas. And he brings 10 riots. I looked at it, and I couldn't believe it, that virtually did it, and I couldn't understand how Rashi could be so wrong. And the Ron, I mean, it doesn't make sense. I think the answer is, and without going too much, and I brought it, if I don't have it here. So you bring me a Rambam in Hilchos Avelos, wait a second. Give me a Rambam in Hilchos Avelos, please. In Hilchos Avelos is where you find the answer. Because I found that 8 of the 10 things he brought, and I read it, 7 of the 10 things, and one thing was certainly not because the Gemara, that's not the way the Gemara comes in Maskon, I saw. And he did it from memory, it could be that he... If you see this, the first Meshulta, Bo Parshas Yudzayim, maybe Raya Mebracious Memches Yudzayim. The Septa Shvi'ez Chazayim, maybe Raya Lingin Shvi'ez Mebracious Memches Chazayim. The Bryce of Murray Kutten Chazayim, Ramadin Zipo, Mibam Vidwar Yudbeis, and it's up, there's no gracious there. It only brings it from Parshas Bamidwar. And I looked at the Gemara there, and the Gemara there comes that this is only the house. The Havamina of the Gemara, and the Gemara rejects this part. So I don't know. The Mechilta Mishpatim, Perikal, maybe Raya Mishmos. That's evident. I didn't go through. This is the one that's really very popular. And the same thing in Hay is a problem. So Hay and Dalet is a problem. Then Bob, the Septi of Amos, Perikhes, Halacha Dalet, Ubabli Shum, he tells you exactly the Septi and everything about Peh. It's unbelievable. And he did it all one day. The Bracious Chabdal Gidal, the Vibra of Chabdal Bob. Then he says, Sipri Bamidwar, maybe Raya Mebracious. Ayan Mechilta Mishpatim, Shem Mebracious. Mechilta Mishpatim, maybe Raya, Chazanem Mishmot, that's also who, Mepasim Mebracious, brings a Pasim Mebracious. I just want to give you a little idea here that everybody knows this tonight, but 7 or 8 of them. In Hilchos Avelos, the first halacha, mitzvah asay l'sabel al akrovim, shenemar v'achalti chatos hayom, hayita v'ein yarishem, v'ein avelos min haTorah elo b'yom rishon b'vad, shehu yom hamishta. The Yom Kippur, Avo Shar HaShiva Yomim, Eino Din Torah. Afa Pi Shneimer B'Torah Vayas LaOvid Evel Shevas Yomim. That you have in Bereishis Yavid. Nitno Torah V'Nischatcha. Said what we have in Bereishis, and that's a big machlokes of Rishonim. What we have in Bereishis, then it was repeated later on in Shmos, in when the Torah was given, so that what we have in Bereishis is not considered the Torah itself. So really, 7 or 8 of them, there's a problem to it. There's an answer you could have given to it. And then it says, Nischato, Moshe Rabbeinu, Tikin Lehem Yisrael, Shiva Shimei Avelos, Shiva Shimei HaMishneh. And the same thing, we have the question of Avela, Mishneh, Mishneh is Mishneh, could be for Eim Arvin Simcha V'Simcha, and you have Shiva Yimei Braces, you couldn't have that. Why? The Gemara Moed Kutten has the same machlokes there in the Gemara. A little different, but the same thing. Anyway, he gives him this, and then but he gives him a lot more. Besides the 10, he spends another page of Rayas for his things. It's just a little more lumpy, so I don't want to in any way. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And then, yeah. After he finishes all this, you see he has this big piece over here. What?
Yeah.
Right after he finished, he begins, he gives him a big compliment. You say, it was great, I was happy to meet you. This was on Wednesday. This is a few days later. Actually, he must have written it the next day. I have to find out the exact date. It's Tez Zayin, but he just met him on the Wednesday, on the Tez Zayin Talmud. I didn't remember. Suddenly he wrote, Yodea Tov, Ki Roshe Umanale Yeshivos, Eitz Chaim Reb Yitzchak Chonon, Bacharu Bi Beheskem Rubam Kukulam, Leos Rosh Umanig Yeshivos, Umajgiach Alimud HaTorah Vamidus Api Atsas, Yedidenu HaRabbanim HaGoyim Levin Torah Vamaz Margolis, Rosenberg, that's the same Rosenberg who was there. And then Zibitz, Ginsberg, and Ohio, Goon, that Tartila him. Yodea Ni Ki Yu Mafri, Mi Biasim Yichutz. I know there'll be a lot of people objecting to this, inside and outside. Ki amalocha lo liyom echot, hapolim ma'atim v'aschar mu'at, v'chilo misra rak abdus ki balti alatzmi. Ki achenu b'nei Yisrael tarchonim v'rognim heim, v'chi ki asher ni la'atzmi ma'ani, aptikanti es matzu v'atorah v'avonus v'eretz hazos. V'ro'ani ki einonu b'nei chorim libotom me'avodazu, asher kiyum ha'yadus ha'mesura ha'mesura v'eretz hazos. And he goes on and on. So this is, he tells what he does. Then he finishes, and he comes back here. Betuach ani, after he's completed telling why yeshiva. Ki ator tia lazily, v'avoda hakdosha, im tacheni v'atzoscha, the Tazor es Hayeshiva Hamishadeshes Ator Vashbaschor the Gamshimchor Yikore Alabayas Agodwazet. So you too will be honest. Don't think that you're being pushed aside. Vator Sholom Ubeshor Sholom Kasira Sohabcho Mokircho Mokabucho Mokole Do Balamori Agoyin Nochum Shrage Mokunatak. So that letter was first uncovered here to this book, never seen before. I know that Rabbi Eric Tepid never saw it before. I thought that he was amazed by this. But you see who Dr. Miller was. He right away took the heart. This is before he became president. Apparently, it was Wednesday. He said, I spoke to you Wednesday, and therefore I'm telling you this. So it must have been a few days later that the meeting must have been. He knew he was going to get elected. So before he got elected, he saw this gentleman. And he spoke to him in learning. He wanted to show his bona fide. He said, the guy would say, well, a young fellow like that, he went to university, probably doesn't know how to learn. And after he proved his bona fides, he wrote this whole piece of Torah. And he said what had to be said, and he said it honestly. It wasn't easy. He said it honestly. He ends it this way. Unfortunately, Rabbi Alberstein died 2 years later. And his wife, she built a home that became a great hospital. She was the founder of the Beth Abraham Home for the Incurables in the Bronx, which is now part of Einstein and part of Dr. Jones. In memory, that's what they said, well, Avram Alberstein. It was an unusual tribute. And she listed the Rebbetzins of the Bronx. And all that. I know my mother used to go and serve about twice a week to help the incurable eat and food. And became one of probably the most noted hospital for incurables in America. So that was an amazing, amazing accomplishment. Okay. What time is it now? Okay, I'm going to have to leave work now. I'm with two ways I'm going to leave work. I have so much more to tell you that I'll be for the next time this week. My father once wrote about, Dr. Brenner Ebb wrote an article, I was the editor of Chavus, and I asked him to write an article about the various realms of study and scholarship. And the main article, the main halacha, for which he was noted, had to do with the Targum Yonos of Nazil, who said that it didn't precede the Karoyim, the Karaites, but it was in response to the Karaites, which was a novel, a revolutionary, an almost a blasphemous idea to do. And then he talked about Kippur, that there never was a prison for punishment in Jewish life. It was only detention, which there are many Gemaras and Rashi. I was going to go over them against that. And then he talked about Neder, which I spoke last time about, that when are you over involved by Yach? You don't make a Neder, you come to the Neder, so you have to give it right away. Can you wait for 2 holidays, the Machlokes and Gemara? We have to wait for 3 holidays, and the order it goes in. And the Karoyim came, the director, so you have the Baal Tachar. Right away you have to give it. And the Yom Tzim the Nazir says, La'achar Sholosh Shugol. He has that. So that was one of his proofs that the Yom Tzim the Nazir must have come afterwards and said. And we're going to answer these things. The whole series of remembrance, and certainly with Dr. Rebbe, is nothing less than a reverent fulfillment of Moshe Rabbeinu's fervent exhortation in Dvorah. Raki shomelachom, ishmor nafshechom ma'od, and tishkach es ha-dvorah ma'asher ro'ei enechom, and yosur milvavcho kol yomei chayechom, vodatum levanechom lebnei banechom, yom asher manatu lefnei ha-reshem elokechom l'chorim, asher yumudun li'yura osi, kol ha-yomim asher heim chayim al adoma, Beis Menechem Yilamenu. Behor Boyer Boish Ad Leiv HaShemayim Choshech Anon Marotha. I'll say it in English, but then I want to say something that follows it. Only take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. But make them known to your sons and your sons' sons. And that's what we're doing. We're making known who made possible the Shishi, who made possible Torah in America. He was a great pioneer. The day that you stood before the Eternal, your God in Chorev, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of the heavens, with darkness, clouds, dark clouds. And as Rashi comments, Oz kisho kishkuchu osa, heichoshu chachomim unavonim. If you don't forget them, you'll be considered chacham and rabbonim. The imta'afsu osa, and you just push them aside. The toch shichcha, forget them. Teichoshu shotev. America was a Sinai, a flame with an eish zorah, reaching into the heavens of our ideals and obscured by the dark clouds of confusion and distortion. Against all this, Dr. Revel strove. He climbed the mountains, putting out the strange fires as he went, and dissipating their spiritually asphyxiating vapors. In their place, he kindled an Eish Kodesh, and triumphantly brought down to the American Jew the pristine Torah value. Dr. Revel was, words of Dr. Belkin, the transplanter par excellence of Torah, and what was reckoned by all to be the unpromising soil of the New World. However, the full measure of his success cannot be comprehended unless it is compared with earlier transplantations. Bringing over a heritage whole and intact from one country to another, distant in civilization as well as in geography, is never as easy, an easy or short task. Nonetheless, Dr. Revel's challenge was still more forbidding. For his predecessor transplanters had to contend almost exclusively with the conditions and influences outside the Jewish body politic. They didn't have to cope with burgeoning segments of disenchanted Jews and misconceived hybrids of Judaism. On the contrary, the earlier transplanters almost always came first in the vanguard, whether it was Ezra returning home from Babel to establish Torah life in a desolate Eretz Yisrael, or emissaries of the Gaonite, 1,000 years later, who imported it to the European continent. None of them were confronted with sizable counter-movements, long entrenched and frenetically engaged in transforming the contours and substance of faith. The Sadducees, the Sadducim, emerged sometime after Ezra, And even the Karaites, who constituted the most formidable threat to what we call Rabbinic Judaism, came to Europe much later. And advanced from an opposite direction entirely via Turkey and Russia. Dr. Revel, on the other hand, had to meet head-on with a vigorous and affluent ersatz Judaism, effectively posing as a natural expression of America's burgeoning and Protestant, with a small p, religious tendencies. For Dr. Revel to transplant, he had first to tear out the weeds of religious ignorance and heresy which covered the American Jewish landscape, at least some of them. Otherwise, the tree of life, the Eitz Chaim, could never have set root in the crowded and uncongenial ground of pseudo and indigenous religious routing. And even as Moshe went 40 years without bread and water before he could wrest the Torah from the heavens, so too did Dr. Revel secure Torah for our time and place during a period of exceeding national economic distress. By the way, he lost all his money. He had no money. I'm not going into the competition between Rockefeller and the Travises and then the Depression. All that money is lost. He used to receive $10,000 a year, the president after these years, and $4,000 he gave to Reb Moshe for his salary. Reb Moshe, I don't know if he knew it. That's an amazing thing. And Reb Moshe took his money, I want you to know. I wasn't going to tell you this. And he took a large part of his own money and he sent it to Rashi Ben, to Rabbi Yosher Ben Boston, to open up a prison. That you don't believe. That I can tell you. And then he says, Dr. Revel, to secure Torah for our time, in place during a period of exceeding national economic distress and no less grievous personal. His life was full of pathos. He died very young. He was cut down. He had two sons. Both of them died young. Never got married. There is no wishes. Nothing left. Such a career. Zu Torah zu Zchora. The Mori Menachos, the Chav Tess, talks about the Yakib. He sees how the Masmerim is stripping and cutting his skin. And he doesn't understand it. So he says, Olam HaMashiach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't even answer. It doesn't mean that everybody who learns Torah happens of Yehuda. Hanasi was a prince. He lived in wealth and his children lived in wealth. But there's some people, and that was his personal strengths. And he had, and he lived it. And one of his sons certainly was a great Talmud Chacham. He put out Otzah Sota. And Otzah Sota, and his chavrusa was Rabbi Chaim Zimmerman. Chaim Zimmerman used to learn in the Beis Medrash here too. That was his chavrusa. Chaim Zimmerman was one of the goyim of Gdol HaDor. But his son Herschel was a big gadol too. It wasn't really a chavrusa, but he was a teacher. Learned with them together, and they put it out together. It was one of the nobilities of Dr. Revel's life that as Rabbi Yossi ben Kismi, a Perek narrative before him, he too scorned the blandishments of material wealth and his promise for anger. He left the business. Many years before 1915, the business remained strong, 10, 15 years, 20 years, which was his only for the wanting, for the economically precarious milieu of Talmidei Chachamim. He chose the hard way of Torah, neither the psychological slings and arrows of skepticism nor the erosions of health, which were to cut him down before his time, could deflect him from his sacred course. But with all his Mesiras Nefesh, his near superhuman dedication, all his labors would have availed him little. I want you to ever, never forget this, and in your own lives to hold this candle to your mind. Would have availed him little if they were not accompanied by the lumpness and the other requisite accoutrements that have since time immemorial designated Talmud Chacham, the God of Israel. I want to end up with Nechama. in March and April 1905. See what he wrought and what Yeshiva has wrought. There was a book called, there was a magazine, The New Era, it's like Newsweek, it was the most popular magazine at that time, the turn of the century. Newsweek, or Time magazine, these magazines. It was called The New York Yeshiva. So the man says, the Yeshiva aspires to give boys the Shibat, he aspires to a young man a genuine Orthodox education. They are as much opposed to the reasonable Orthodoxy, the theological seminary, as to Reform. Theirs is the Russian Orthodoxy, with its endless laws and precepts, its intolerant attitude to biblical and Talmudic criticism, its true piety, its narrowness. All these qualities are naturally roused and intensified by them. And then he says that the place that they're learning in is not a clean. These three schools in New York carry the name Yeshiva, though in Russia, two of them would have taken the less ostentatious name of Talmud Torah. The distinction between a Talmud Torah and a Yeshiva is that the former is given over to the study of the Bible, not the rudiments of the Talmud, and the latter to the advanced study of the Talmud. Responsa and final codes. Henry Street enjoys the distinction of entertaining all three of them. The Yeshiva Eitz Chaim, North 85th Street, is before the merger. The Yeshiva Rabbi Yaakov Yosef at number 197. And Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yitzchok Elchanan, Alkanan, he writes, at number 56. The Yeshiva Eitz Chaim, if any, goes over this, and it's worth noting, he talks about what it does. Yeshiva Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, he goes, in both Yeshivas, the children who can afford to do so pay small fee for tuition. Of course, the teaching is done in Yiddish. Lads of 10 years are forced to occupy their mind the lifelong day with the cow that kicked a splinter of wood which fell on a ewer and smashed it into fragments, one of which dropped down and another ewer, which likewise came to grief. The Lamdim are utterly ignorant of the world beyond the four L's of Halacha, and like innumerable others of our contemporary ancestors in the ghetto would not have thought too advanced to their ideas at the time when the genius of Vilna created the Golem. It wasn't the Vineyard, it was the Maral, but he's got a little confused. All right. For a real yeshiva, this one, one must go to Yeshiva Rabbeinu Yitzchok Elchanan, founded in 1997. On entering, one is stunned and bewildered by the ear-splitting noise of 100 boys and young men between the ages of 13 and 30, shouting at the top of their lungs and continually swaying their bodies to and fro as if they had discovered the secret of perpetual motion. If you close your ears, the spectacle would not be without picturesque features and might remind you of whirling dervishes constantly striding from one end of the house to the other. Is the mashgiach or supervisor, an altogether wonderful man whose Argus eye vigilance covers with great minuteness every individual in the place. There's but too good reason to believe, nevertheless, that despite this excellent care, some of the yeshiva bachrim throw glimpses into English books when they are supposed to be absorbed in the Talmudic subtleties. The studies here comprise all that goes to make up a full-fledged Orthodox yeshiva. System or order in the studies is absolutely unknown, especially among the senior scholars. Everyone produces whatever Talmudic track or response he pleases, or in any way or manner that tickles his fancy, provided he incessantly vibrates his body. In case the pendulum motion is interrupted, the supervisor gets suspicious, and that's the way he makes fun of you. But he says that the students get, at the very end, and he says, if the yeshiva, last paragraph, Rabbi Yitzchok Elchanan, should be taken in hand by men of intelligence or abreast of the 20th century, it might possibly become an unequal factor for good in American Judaism. You've got five pages of absolutely damning the whole notion. But I want you to know that in 2001, one of the greatest writers, journalist, I mean, Graham Turner, he was the chief writer for the Palace, and he was the chief writer for the Morning Telegraph. And and he was sent, I think that Murdoch was the owner of the Morning Telegraph, the London Morning Telegraph, one of the major papers in London. And he was sent at that time, he was his idea apparently, that he wanted to find the secret of Jewish survival. And he wanted to take 32 journalists, get them together, and go over the whole world and find the secret of Jewish survival. So Graham Turner did that. He didn't get 32, he got much less. And he could only focus on three countries, the United States, Israel, and England. And he tells about his focusing, going back and forth. He's looking for, what is the secret of Jewish survival? And in many pages he has here. And he talks about 116 Jewish Nobel Prize winners. He goes over everything. Until he comes to this paragraph. And that is what Dr. Revel began. And we have furthered, meaning Talmidim here, through the years, and the Rebbeim and the great administrators. It was 9 in the evening when I arrived at Yeshiva University in New York and Rabbi Blau met me. A buzz of furious sound was coming from one of its libraries. Here in a largish room, he meant the base medrash. Here in a largish room were 400 young men sitting in pairs across desks, rather like chess players, and surrounded by piles of hefty tomes, arguing heatedly. It could scarcely have been more different from the obligatory silence of the Bodleian, that's the great library of Oxford. They were all studying the Talmud, line by line, and this was no exercise in dry scholarship. As I soon realized, I was in the presence of the fizzle core of Judaism. The nuclear core. This is what Dr. Revel, Rav Dov Berlev, began with the other Gedolei Yisrael. I want to end up with one story. They told me after 12. This story, I want to end up with Dr. Revel. Dr. Revel knew you had to have Gedolei in Yeshiva. Without Gedolei, you can't do it. He brought the Maitzit Ilu here. And by bringing the Maitzit Ilu, suddenly there was a focus. And the great community of from all over New York came to the Maitzit Ilu. It was revolutionary. Maitzit Ilu died, he just reached 50 years old. He died from a tooth abscess suddenly. Unbelievable, because there was no penicillin, no sulfur drugs. Just from a tooth abscess. He went to the doctor and he couldn't cure it. He died. So after consultation with the Rabbanim in Europe, Dr. Revel decided that he has to bring the Moshe Soloveitchik here. And he sent a letter to Moshe, and Moshe accepted it. Moshe at that time was the head of the Tachamoni in Warsaw. And suddenly he had a lot of troubles getting out of it. And he couldn't come. Then Shimon Skop was here. He was here raising money for brothers. And Dr. Revel went to Rav Shimon Skop and he spoke to him. And he was a Talmud of Rav Shimon. See, people know Dr. Revel learned with Rav Shimon in Telz. Because Rav Shimon was in Telz before he was part of the Telz. It actually, the Telz method and the Rav Chaim's method was deepened, both of them, by Rav Shimon. He was considered the greatest Rav Shimon. And Rav Shimon was here. And he told Rav Shimon, I want you to be, and he told him what happened, that Rav Moshe can't come. And Rav Shimon agreed. And he gave him $10,000 a year. I found this out. Rav Shimon took very little money from it, but all the money that he had left over, he sent to Grubba. Because he was supposed to raise the money. So that's where he got money to send to Grubba. He lived on, no, by the seat of his pants. Gave it all away. That's the issue. And then Rav Chaim Moshe, and the Chofetz Chaim sent letters to him and said he must, through Rabbi Chaim Moser said that, he's speaking in the name of the Chofetz Chaim. He must come back. He must come to Grodno. He can't stay here. And he liked it. He didn't want to leave. But he couldn't help it. He received two letters from him. He went to Dr. Rebbe. Dr. Rebbe wanted to stay here. By the way, when Shimon Skop came, he was in Europe, and he already said, and then he went back to Europe, and he came here. He came here for when they moved into the building here. When they opened the college. That's when he came. He didn't go away from it. He came. And they upset, must have been upset. How can the biggest Rosh Yeshiva have done this? Dr. Belkin was here 1 year, and he couldn't acclimate himself in the yeshiva. And he wanted to go back to Europe. Dr. Belkin told me the story. So he went to Reb Shimon. He said, Reb Shimon, I want to go back. Reb Shimon said, if I had my brothers, I'd remain here. The future of Yadus is here and not there. That was prescience. And he told Dr. Belkin to remain, and then the rest was history. Dr. Belkin told me this story himself. Then he went to Florida. And everyone said, he spent a month in Florida with Shimon to rest up before he goes back here. And I can't find the letters, because I remember him and I saw them every year. I can't find the letters. So I called up Rabbi Rekep and he said, it's true. And Dr. Revel wrote to him, begging him to change his mind and come back. And he said to him, this letter, he said, they tell me I must go, and they said to me, apparently, he mentioned it in the letter, that if you don't go back, Reb Moshe won't be able to come here. And it was already promised to Reb Moshe, and that's why he has to go back. So Dr. Revel wrote him back, he said, on the contrary, I want you both to be here. And you know why? Because if you're both here, I'll be able to get Reb Yeruchim Levov, the great Moshe. Easy for a
ball. Your Beruchim was one of the...